Hey, book lovers. My name is Em, and I want to talk about books and cats. Welcome back, book lovers. So I have got some book babble for you this week, and I kind of wish I didn't. Last episode, I asked if anyone was still doing NaNoWriMo, and it turns out that it is still going strong. But I also found that a lot of people were posting about something going on with it, and it really sucks. There's not a ton of confirmed information right now. A lot of it is speculation, but it definitely involves a mod for one of the online forums, Grooming Kids, which is just the worst. And it makes me even more mad, if that's possible, because NaNoWriMo was always such a supportive and inspiring place. And people just always have to ruin things. It's like it's the only purpose of humanity, I swear. So I just got the email that was sent out by NaNoWriMo, and it's pretty mid. They acknowledge very few things and are super vague. I know that they probably have to be right now, but so far all they've done is shut down the forums for a while to get things under control. And I guess that's probably all they can do, you know, at least at the moment. There has apparently been a serious delay in anyone actually doing anything about this. And there have been claims that this came out in May, which would make sense because they hold a teen-focused camp NaNoWriMo in April and July. But yeah, it's all speculation, except that grooming was definitely involved, and those people were removed in a timely fashion, is what the email says. What a nightmare all the way around. Everyone is affected in some way, and it's all negative. And that's such a bummer. And speaking of bummers, I'm going to continue with another bummer, though very interesting and also timely. Sort of. As timely as I'm ever going to be on here. I'm a little behind, always. Today I'm talking about the recently released memoir that sold 1.1 million copies in the first week alone. I'm talking about The Woman in Me by Britney Spears. Oh, Britney. Poor, poor Britney. And honestly, poor all of us who were women in the 90s, or girls. I only have this as a reference, and I won't claim that it's worse than any other decade for women, but we are now coming into our womanhood and realizing just how terribly we have been treated. Not all of us, of course, but more and more I'm finding women that have my same experience or some version of it. And in this book, we see Britney Spears embody the pop star level of this BS. And this book is heartbreaking. It's truly heartbreaking. Much like Paris Hilton, which you can see episode 17 of this season for her memoir. But like her, I have always loved Britney Spears and admired her talent. I know that she is an amazing singer, but that girl can also dance, which was always my thing, and you can tell that she just loves it. But I also listened to the people all around me who were constantly putting down young women, pop stars, and blondes. In my house, being blonde was as bad as being fat, which was a slight deviation from the norm at that time. And I'm not going to try to pretend that I was any better back then. I repeated those things. I made fun of blondes in an attempt to give myself some sort of purchase socially, you know? I just have never understood social cues, really. So I just repeated the things that I heard. I feel really, really bad about it now. I also just went through a phase where I dyed my hair strawberry blonde for a while, and I really loved it. And guess what? Didn't make me any dumber. We can only grow and move forward, and there is no changing the past, but man, I do really hate realizing, once again, what a jerk I was in the past. Misguided is probably a better way to put it, or not guided at all, really. But to the people who had to deal with me back then, I was a jerk. And that sucks. So while I despised the girl that I wished I could be and never could be, I also loved her music, her look, and her videos. She's an incredible artist. But That, of course, was never brought up back then. She was just cute and sweet and such a good girl. Poor Brittany. So let's discuss the book. I listened to this on Audible. I was definitely swept up in the excitement about this book's release. I knew she had been treated horribly, and I'm only human. I wanted details. I am really glad that she is getting all of the money from this and that her family cannot touch it, because those people are the worst. I had also heard that the audiobook was a good way to go. I definitely prefer them for memoirs anyway. This one had an intro by Brittany and then was read by Michelle Williams, and it is just brilliantly done. She really captures the essence of Britney Spears and the emotion behind all of those stories. I'm not going to go into details. I don't want to spoil this. And honestly, it just jumps right into the madness. This poor girl, this poor woman, like I said, it's just heartbreaking. I definitely recommend The Woman in Me by Britney Spears, and especially the audiobook read by Michelle Williams. Even if you're not a fan of her music or her work, this is a heartfelt and honest book and 100% worth a read. Definitely recommend. So now let's do a quick check-in with my kitty cats. They're doing their thing, as always. The pellet stove joy continues as things are getting chillier. We've had a little bit of snow, which is exciting. My girl cat is still trying to escape every night, despite the cold and the snow. It's kind of a new thing she's been doing. She's been yowling at the door. And she's always been kind of a timid and quiet cat up until now. But not anymore. My girl has found her voice. And she is using it. My goodness. I think it might be because she got a little taste for blood. She got out a few times during the summer, and the body count every morning after she had been out was wild. We're talking like 4 to 5 rodents each time, and maybe a couple of birds, too. Girl cats are killers, that is for sure. But she is just so sweet otherwise. And if you want to see pictures of my cats, make sure that you're following the Books and Cats Instagram and TikTok. That's where I post all my kitty pictures, and they're fun. So for this week's quote of the week, I am going to take a quote from Brittany's book, and it's one that really, really speaks to me. Like, I have been there. The quote is, "There have been so many times when I was scared to speak up because I was afraid somebody would think I was crazy. But I've learned that lesson now, the hard way. You have to speak the thing that you're feeling, even if it scares you. You have to tell your story." And I think we should all tell our stories. They are all worth telling. Even if it's terrifying. The truth can be terrifying. So that is all for this week, book lovers. If you stick around after the music, you can listen to the first half of chapter 3 of my 2014 horror novel, Do You Remember Ella? These chapters are pretty long, so I thought I'd break them up into chunks. So we'll probably be doing 2 episodes for each chapter. But I'm not changing a thing. I am reading it as it was in 2014. So please be kind. I have grown a lot as a writer and as a person since then. Anyway, I hope you all have a beautiful week. I hope you speak your needs and revel in the beauty of your own inner self. And I hope you get a peaceful moment with a good book and possibly a furry friend. Until next time, keep reading. Thanks for sticking around, book lovers. Here is the first half of chapter 3 of my 2014 horror novel, Do You Remember Ella? Enjoy. I slipped out of my room and crept down the silent hall. It was surprisingly easy to sneak out of the dorm. I was soon standing outside, shivering in my thin t-shirt and pajama pants. I hadn't thought to grab a sweater, and the dark November night was colder than I expected. I moved quietly down the walk, darting in and out of the shadows that spilled onto the pavement. The dull orange light gave everything an old look, like a sepia photo. I saw Hugo, the new nighttime security guard, doing his rounds. He paced in front of the theater building a few times. The front entrance was roped off with yellow caution tape, and no one had been allowed inside all day. Hugo moved away, and I waited until he entered Mueller Hall, before sprinting to the theater and darting inside. It was dark, but my eyes slowly adjusted. I knew the building better than my own home, and I moved quietly through the darkness without bumping into anything. The basement was lit by the muted red glow of the exit signs that hung above every doorway. I pushed open the door to the dressing room and turned on the light. The glass still littered the floor, and the words were as bold as before. The glare of the overhead fluorescent lights made everything stark and surreal. In the center of the cold cement floor was a spot of red. It looked like a bit of spilled paint, but as I watched, it grew. I knew this sight. I had seen it many times before. It grew dark and thick, covered the floor, and ran down the walls. The glass was gone. The words were gone. The entire room was filled with blood. There was a gurgling sound from the bathroom. I stepped slowly into the room and moved through the hot, sticky mess to the shower room. The blood was swirling down the drains of both shower stalls and bubbling up out of the sinks. The gurgling grew louder until a geyser of blood rushed up from the floor and rained down on me. I screamed and ran from the room. My foot slipped in the hallway and I fell to the floor. Inside the dressing room, I could see the glass, and the words had returned. The blood was gone. I woke suddenly and found myself safely in my dorm room. I went to the window and peered out into the orange-tinted gloom. A fog had settled over the campus, and it gave everything an ominous feeling. It was hard to tell dream from reality. I could see the theater building from my window, and I could see the shape of Hugo pacing in front of the entrance. As I sat by the window trying to decide if it was a dream or another ghastly vision, I heard a scraping noise at my door. There was a slight sound of metal on metal, and I thought I saw the lock begin to turn. "Who's there?" I meant to scream and wake the dorm mother, but my voice was soft, almost a whisper. The lock didn't turn. I moved slowly to my door and listened, but I couldn't hear anything over the pounding of my own heart. My body raced with adrenaline, and I placed my hand on the doorknob. I almost screamed as a piece of paper slid under my door. It was bright pink and folded into a neat square. I jumped away from the door, but a moment later, in a sudden rush of bravado, I threw it open and peered down the hall. I don't know what I expected to see. Maybe I thought I'd find Ella standing there with her manic grin, but there was no one. The hall was dark except for the light coming from the stairwell. I thought I heard the scuff of a shoe on the stairs, but when I ran to the stairwell and peered down, it was deserted. I went back to my room and checked the lock several times with shaking hands. The neon paper glared up at me, but I couldn't pick it up. I had never feared a piece of paper before, but I couldn't touch it. I couldn't imagine what was written on it or what trouble it would cause me. I sat and watched the door until the sun rose. I was exhausted but dragged myself to the shower. It was better to shower before anyone else woke up, and it was nice to have a little peace. When I returned to my room, I felt better. In the light of the morning, my fears seemed silly. I lifted the paper gingerly. My fingers trembled as I unfolded the note. "No fear shall you feel. Their ignorance will be cured. No harm can come to you while I live, by action or by word, for you are a true friend, a true love, the gifted one, and you remember Ella." The handwriting was the same, and the words worried me. They were threatening, yet not directed at me. I read the note several times and then hid it in a folder of old show programs. I tucked the folder behind a large tote of winter clothes in the back of my closet and began to get ready for the day. The mood around campus that morning was strange. Students stood clumped together outside the dining hall, but no one was talking. Inside, students sat staring at their plates. It was too silent. I got into line, and the woman behind the counter was crying as she laid eggs and sausages on my plate. "What's going on? Why is everyone acting so weird?" The woman just glared at me and told me I was holding up the line. I found an empty table, but I couldn't eat. Everyone was looking at me. Their whispers were a cacophony in the otherwise quiet room. After a few torturous minutes, I grabbed my bag and slipped out the back door. I followed the walkway that passed through the grove of trees behind the building. No one ever used the back walk, and I was surprised to see someone sitting on one of the ornamental benches lining the path. When I got closer, I saw it was Brando. He was staring blankly at the ground in front of him. I stopped and stood beside him for several minutes, but he didn't notice me. I sat down beside him, and he still didn't notice me. "Brando?" He jumped as if a gun had gone off beside him. "Sophie? What's going on? Why is everyone acting so weird?" "You haven't heard." "Heard about what?" Brando grabbed his face and turned away. His shoulders were shaking, and a sob escaped him. I couldn't believe he was crying. I just stared at him for a moment. Slowly, I placed my hand lightly on his shoulder. "Brando?" He spun around and backed away. His eyes darted around, and I assumed that he didn't want to be seen with me. It would be a serious detriment to his popularity, and I had a feeling that he was always walking a very fine line. Just leave me alone, Sophie. I just want to know what's going on. Can't you tell me? He made a short, rough sound in his throat. It could have been another sob or an attempt at a laugh. I couldn't tell which. He gave me a quick look over his shoulder. His expression was an odd mixture of sadness, anger, and fear. Mr. Franklin's gone. To say that I wasn't partially relieved by this information would be false. But I also had to wonder what this meant for me. I had to assume that everyone would link me to this mystery somehow, and I wasn't sure I could handle the repercussions. Brando was walking away quickly. It was more of a jog, really, but I caught up with him near the science building. When he looked at me, I saw that his eyes were wet. He wiped at them savagely with the sleeve of his jacket and glared at me. Go away, Sophie. Wait, Brando, I just wanted to ask you something. He stopped walking and sighed. What? Have you heard from Ella recently? He looked at me as if something disgusting and vicious was growing out of my head. He opened his mouth to speak and then shook his head and ran away. They called the school assembly to announce Mr. Franklin's disappearance. Everyone already knew, but there was a fresh wave of tears from the students, male and female alike. There were a few other faces that, like mine, wore a more relieved than sorrowful expression. Headmaster Quincy finished his announcement, and the room erupted. Everyone began talking at once, crying and screaming. The sound was incredible. The girl beside me screamed and pulled her perfect brown pigtails. Her friend tried to console her, but she would not stop. Things started to get out of hand. The jocks began shoving people around, and fights broke out all over the auditorium. Some students in the back started throwing chairs, and the faculty hurried off the stage. Some went out the back door while others tried to break up the fights. Mrs. Miller got punched in the face by one of the hockey players, and I saw two girls trying to choke Headmaster Quincy with his tie. I got out of there as quickly as I could. The stairway echoed with the rage from above, and I ran down the stairs as fast as possible. The tension on campus had been growing since the strange pranks began, and the sound of it boiling over was deafening. I burst through the door and into the hallway, and I ran into Marcus with so much force that we both fell down. He laughed as we tried to untangle our legs and wrapped his arms around me. You cannot escape me, Sophie. He laughed again and stood up. He held his hand out to me and helped me to my feet. He didn't let go of my hand and remained very close to me. What is going on up there? I don't know. Everyone just lost it. It was crazy. I didn't know Mr. Franklin very well. He seemed all right. I'm sure he was fine to you. As long as you're a jock, he's nice to you. If you're not, well... I broke off and looked away. Marcus was grinning at me, and it made me nervous. The sound of thundering footsteps made us both jump, and Marcus pulled me toward the door. Come on, let's get out of here. It's not safe. We ran out into the first snowstorm of the year. The huge fluffy flakes made the world look clean and new. The madness inside seemed to fade away. Marcus brought me to a place in the trees behind the dorms. There was a small cluster of immense oaks. They grew so close together that the branches intertwined and formed seats high up amongst the remaining brittle brown leaves. It was a magical place. We climbed up into the branches and watched the snow fall in silence. Marcus was smiling at me again. This place is kind of wild. Nothing like this has happened before. Really? Nothing weird has ever happened here? This place seems like a great place to hide all the freaks and failures. I smiled. Well, that's true. But they usually try to behave like normal people. Marcus leaned back in his seat and stared up at the sky. The snowflakes caught in his eyelashes, shimmered in his gorgeous hair, and melted on his cheek. He laughed at the bright gray sky, and his eyes sparkled. I like you, Sophie. You're different. Thanks, I guess. He leaned in close. That's good, Sophie. Different is good. He kissed me on the cheek and jumped down out of the tree. He landed with unbelievable grace while I fell awkwardly and landed in a heap at his feet. Instead of helping me up, he lay in the snow beside me and held my hand. The air was cold and I shivered. The back of my uniform was soaked and I was freezing. Marcus rolled onto his side and looked at me. Pretty soon this stuff will stop happening. How do you know that? He held out his hand. The snow. Footprints would lead security right to whoever's doing all this crazy shit. Do you think it was Mr. Franklin? Maybe that's why he took off.
You think he left on his own?
Sure. His affairs with the students are pretty well known. I bet his wife kicked him out.
The school's not going to fight to keep him here. I bet he went somewhere warm, the bastard. He grew somber for a moment and looked down at his hands. His fingers nervously played with a twig that he had plucked from the ground. He glanced at me and looked away quickly. Valeria's gone, too. What? I tried to hide the joy that was growing inside me. Marcus had obviously cared about her, and I couldn't express my true feelings without hurting him. To have two of my main problems at the school suddenly vanish was too good to be believed. They left together? He sighed. Yeah, I knew all about them, but I thought it was different with us. She said that she was done with Franklin. She said she loved me. I'm sorry, Marcus. Yeah, well, we should probably go back. Make sure they haven't burned the school down or killed each other. He got up and helped me stand. We brushed snow from each other's backs and started back to the academic buildings. There were students standing in clumps all over campus. Most of them had gathered outside the dining hall, though lunch would not be served for another hour. No one said anything. Several students had broken arms or black eyes. I saw Brando sitting near the door to the dining hall. His lip was split, and drops of blood lay vibrant against the snow surrounding him. I saw him look at us, and his eyes were murderous. I stopped walking, but Marcus took my hand and pulled me gently forward. We joined Brando and sat in the snow beside him. You okay, man? Brando nodded. Yeah, it just sucks, you know. Mr. Franklin was like a father to me. I had no idea he was... He looked quickly at Marcus's sullen face and mumbled an apology, but Marcus just shook his head. It's all right, man. Everyone tried to warn me. I couldn't believe this was all happening. Marcus was sitting close to me, and his fingers lightly touched mine. There was intense sadness all around me, but I felt nothing but relief. I was free from torment and persecution by two people that had been cruel to me since the first day I came to Cullen Academy. I felt unbelievably free. There was a ripple of sound as the headmaster came down the walk. The sleeve of his coat was torn, and his arm was bandaged. Three long red scratches ran down his cheek. He looked like he had been in a fight with a wild animal. Joe Blood and several of the larger male teachers surrounded him. They eyed the students as they passed and looked ready to pounce at the slightest hint of rebellion. Our eyes met. He halted in the middle of the walk and motioned for me to come with him. Every eye turned to me, and I felt my face growing hot again. I hated blushing. It happened automatically, and it made me so angry. It made me look guilty when I was really just shy. I approached him slowly. It was difficult to move under the heaviness of all those stairs. My feet felt like they each weighed 100 pounds. I was allowed inside the tight knot of teachers, and we returned to the main building. The halls had been torn apart. Books were torn and scattered everywhere. The glass surrounding the offices had been smashed. Every window in the office was now a gaping mouth filled with sharp, glittering teeth. Headmaster Quincy brushed the glass and torn papers off of a chair, and I sat down. He sat across from me, swept the debris from his desk, and leaned forward. He placed his hands palm to palm and looked at me over his fingertips. One of the lenses in his glasses was cracked, and they sat askew on his nose. Sophie, do you know anything about Mr. Franklin's disappearance?
No, sir.
Nothing at all. I've only heard the rumors, sir, just like everybody else. Well, everybody else isn't talking. What does the rumor mill say about all this? That they were having an affair and ran off together? It's just a rumor. Headmaster Quincy sighed and massaged his temples. That's what I was afraid of. This isn't going to look good for the school at all. We're sure to lose some of our benefactors over this. How could I have not seen it? He dismissed me with a wave of his hand before he buried his face in his arms. Once out in the hall, I saw Brando moving toward me very quickly. The expression on his face was terrifying. I turned away and started to run, but he caught me easily and spun me around. His face was pale, and his eyes were red from crying. He was breathing heavily, and his fingers dug sharply into my arm. What did you do to them?
Brando, calm down. I didn't do anything to anyone.
Am I next? You have to tell me. Am I? You have to tell me. Am I?
What?
No?
Next for what?
He shot me one last wild look before he pushed me away and ran down the hall. I was about to go after him when Marcus appeared at my side.
Are you okay?
He held my arm lightly, and his face was concerned.
I'm fine.
Want to go for another walk?
No, I think I need to lay down. I'm sorry. I need to be alone for a little while. Marcus smiled and nodded slightly. He walked me to my dorm, and when the door closed behind me, I was overcome with emotions. I dropped to the floor and curled into a ball. I cried until I couldn't breathe. I stayed in my room all day. From my window, I watched the small knots of students that dotted the snow-covered lawn. The snow kept falling, but most of them remained out there all day. Occasionally, a few would leave, and others would take their place. I tried not to think about anything. The relief I felt was overshadowed by guilt, and I couldn't shake the feeling that Mr. Franklin and Valeria had not run away together. The pink letter bothered me. I couldn't put it out of my mind. The words seemed much more sinister now.
And that is the end of the first half of Chapter 3 of my 2014 horror novel, Do You Remember Ella? I will be back with the second half of Chapter 3 next week. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, book lovers, keep reading.
If Rap Media Production.